in chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the last part of verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7 today of Philippians and chapter 4. If you want a Bible and you haven't got one in front of you, just let the ushers know and they will provide you with a Bible so that you can follow and make sure that what we're saying is from God's Word. I just want to read the verses that we'll be looking at, especially this morning. The end of verse 5 of chapter 4. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, as we've been going through this book in Philippians, we've been seeing that it's Paul instructing a church that he loves, a people that he really cares for. He has a passion for these people. And there he is in Rome, in prison, and they're on his heart, and he's concerned about them. And he's thankful for their concern to him. And he's encouraging these Philippians, and as we've seen recently, he's been encouraging them to agree with each other in the Lord. He wants them to have unity together. He wants them to have joy in the Lord always. He wants them to be gentle and caring with each other. And this is sort of the everyday example that he wants these Christian people to have, his church in Philippi. He wants them to be caring people. He wants them to have joy in the Lord. He wants them to be agreeing in the Lord. He wants them to be gentle with each other. He wants the world to look on and see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their lives. But he also is challenging them and teaches them about what to do with their worries. And the whole main point of today's message can simply be summed up: trust God with your worries, then God promises his peace. That's what we're looking at this morning from God's Word. Trust God with your worries. Trust God with your concerns. Trust God with your anxieties. Then he promises his peace in the context of that. Now, this world is full of worries and fears. And the whole reason that terrorism works is because it makes people fearful. I went to my dear friend Uncle Google, and I asked Google, what are the top fears, what are the top concerns of people in the world? And this is the top 10. We're counting down. Losing your freedom is there in 10th place. And then it's the unknown. And then in 8th, pain. People worry about pain in their health. In 7, it's disappointment. 6 is misery. 5 is loneliness. People worry about being lonely. That's a fear. In 4th place, ridicule, being laughed at, not being accepted, not being part of a community. On into the 3rd one, rejection. The 2nd thing, most thing that people fear and worry about is death. I was surprised. I thought that would be in 1st place. That's a fairly major one, but no, that's apparently in 2nd place. And in 1st place, there is failure. People are worried and concerned, and one level or the other of failure. And perhaps that's quite timely. Here you are about to start your exams or in the middle of your exams, and perhaps failure of exams is something that is concerning you, something that is worrying you, or perhaps some of those other things on that list you're aware of. Perhaps you are thinking that after this semester you'll be going back home and you're going to lose your freedom. You'll be back in the family home, and mum and dad will be watching over you, and you will have to do what they tell you to do again, and perhaps that's where you're at. Or perhaps you're concerned about the pain you have in your stomach that you just put down to being that Turkish food, but now you're a bit worried that it might be something more. Worry is there in our lives, and worry is something we can have. And worry and worrying is not joyful. And Paul was telling his people, I want you to be joyful. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to know joy. And in some ways, the opposite of joy and rejoicing is worry and anxiety. And that's why it gets hit head on here. Worrying is not God's way for us. God doesn't want his people to worry. In Matthew chapter 6, we read those verses earlier, but I just want to quote the one very quickly in 25. It says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, or do not worry about your life. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, there's a list of people, and in this list there are the fearful or the worriers. But the fearful or the worriers, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I think that's quite remarkable that in that list, at the beginning of that list, fearful and the worriers are there. God does not want his people to be fearful worriers. And again in 2 Timothy, and it's the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says to them in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy in verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. It's not God's revealed will for his people to be fearful. God doesn't want his people to be fearful. And yet so many of us are fearful. I have a wonderful Christian friend who worries about worrying. If they're not worrying about anything else, they're worrying about the fact that they shouldn't be worrying. And that's what can happen to us. And we can be a real challenge to us as God's people. Because we do worry, don't we? We do get concerned about things. We do get anxious. And yet here we have from God's teaching that we shouldn't worry. That worry isn't something for us. We should be those that are rejoicing. We should be those that are worshipping. We should be those that are thankful. We shouldn't be those that are worrying. And yet you and I know it's really, really easy to worry. To get anxious. To get concerned. Will there be money available for next term's fees? Will the exam paper be the material that I have studied? Will I still be able to lodge with my friends next semester? Will, and you know where you're at. And you know that it can be so for us to worry. The passage here that we looked at talks about our hearts and our minds. And I think what's going on here is a battle for our hearts and our minds. When the Allied troops went into Afghanistan, initially their idea was to subdue the Taliban. And then they had this operation which was called Hearts and Minds. And what the army were trying to do, the Allied armies were trying to do, was to win over the local people, win over their hearts and their minds, so that they, rather than being aligned to the Taliban and all the problems and difficulties that that regime had, that they would become free thinkers and that they would be willing to go after the moderates, and that they would be willing to have their girls educated, and they would want to be able to have freedom and liberty and those kinds of things. And there's this battle of hearts and minds. And right now, in the Christian life, there's a battle for our hearts and minds. And on the one hand, we're told to rejoice in the Lord always. And then again, I say, rejoice! And then on the other hand, there's a sneaky devil coming in saying, I want you to worry. Because if we're worrying, it means we're not trusting. If we're worrying, it means we're not focusing on our Savior. If we're worrying, we're looking at the problem. And if we're looking at the problem, it gets bigger. And there was Peter. Jesus was walking on water. And they were afraid, weren't they? And then they realized it was Jesus. And then Peter said, call me out and I'll walk to you. And when Peter was walking and looking at Jesus, he was fine. But when he saw the big waves, and his mind was taken off, and his heart was taken off, and he saw the waves, what happened? He started sinking. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to sink. He wants our relationship to be marred. He wants us to worry. Because it takes our hearts and minds off the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes our minds off what we should be doing, rejoicing in the Lord always. The devil wants to win this battle. The best way he can win it is to fill you with fear. But this morning, I have the medicine. First point, the medicine. Now, can you imagine this? Going to the local pharmacy or the chemist or whatever it is you call it and saying, excuse me, I would like a box of no more worries. A week's course will do, just over exam time. It's that pink box up there. And you get this box. Would you expect those no worry tablets to work? No. Not really. Well, you might do. That's remarkable faith to think that a box of pink tablets is going to make you not worry. Worry is too big a problem for medicine, isn't it? But God has promised that his worry medicine works. And it actually works better than we can understand. But we do need to take the medicine. So we need to listen to what God is telling us this morning, because this is our medicine. This is how we can win the battle of the hearts and minds. This is how, with God's help, we can not be anxious. Verse 5 tells us at the end, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So you have to take the medicine. This medicine is to firstly remember that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is close by. Now I want to sort of illustrate this slightly like this. The week before, on Monday, I went to Turkey. And I went to Turkey to get an injection, to get a yellow fever injection, so that, God willing, when I'm in Nigeria, I won't catch yellow fever. Please do pray as well that the injection works. But also at the same time, that the kind doctor there who was seeing me said, I will give you some malaria tablets as well. Now I have to take these malaria tablets, and I have to take some now, and some when I'm in Nigeria, and some when I get back. And I was given this box. Now, had these tablets been made by somebody's uncle in the east of Turkey, would I have had much faith in them? Had Noah got a recipe off the internet, and Jacob and Leah went out into the mountains and found these things and put them together, and had Rachel then boiled it up and gave it to me, would I have had much faith in it? But when I looked at this tablet box and it had GlaxoSmithKline in it, I thought, I'm okay. I can take these. Because I had faith in where the medicine was coming from. Now this is why we're told at the beginning of this section, remember the Lord is at hand. This medicine is coming from God. It's God's medicine for us. It's not Pastor James inventing you something nice to make you feel better. This is God's medicine for you. This was given to you by God. God who is at hand, the creator of the world, the sustainer of the world, is bringing this to us. That's really important. That's why we can not worry, because the Lord is at hand. This is what underlines it all. This is why it works. This is the special part of it. It's the fact that the Lord is at hand. Peter, when he was looking at Jesus, he was okay. When Jesus was at hand, it was going the right way. And when his eyes got focused elsewhere, it went wrong. And right here at the beginning of the medicine, we have to remember, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord is at hand. So the medicine is to remember that the Lord is at hand. And secondly, because the Lord is at hand, we do not have to worry. Because the Lord is at hand, we do not have to worry. I'm sure you've been in a situation and you've been concerned about it. You've been worried about it. You've been upset about it. And you've spoken to a friend about it. And your friend has turned around and smiled and said, "Don't worry." Thank you. That really helped. Or perhaps your friend turns around and says, "Don't worry. It could be worse." That's a real comfort, isn't it? There you are, concerned about your situation, and they say, "Don't worry, it could be worse." Or, "Don't worry, it might not happen." But I'm worrying what would happen if it does happen. That's the whole point of worrying, is worrying about something that might happen. And you're saying, "Don't worry, it might not happen." But it might happen. We don't have to worry because the Lord is at hand. Yes, we can have a problem. And yes, it can be a worry to us. But is our God bigger than the problem? Of course he is. Of course he is. He is bigger than everything. He's bigger than everything because he made it. And he made it and he is bigger than it. And he's older than it. And he's more mature than it. And he's seen it all before. And he knows it inside out. And he's saying to us, we do not have to worry. The Lord is at hand. Do not worry about this. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm helping you. In fact, before time began, I planned this course of action for you. I knew you would be ill. I knew your parents would have difficulties getting money to you. I planned it. And the reason I planned it was because of this and this and this. Not for you to worry, but to learn something. We have to remember the Lord is at hand. And because the Lord is at hand, we're not to worry. And what we're practically to do, thirdly, is pray. God doesn't just say to them, "Don't worry." He gives us this medicine to take. And he tells us to pray. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul doesn't just say pray, but he says three other things with that. He says pray, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. Or maybe in the version of the Bible that you're reading, you see there is petitions, supplications or petitions. This is humbly asking. We deserve nothing. But the great God is saying, "I'm near you, and when you've got concerns, come to me and tell me about them. Bring them to me. Bring them to me and share them with me. Let me know about them." Now, sometimes it's happened that people have come to me wanted to share their problems with me. And I think it's an African thing. It's a man of God. And we tell the man of God, and all the problems will go. I can't take your problems away. I can do the same thing as you, though. And I can pray to God. Because that's what we're to do. Bringing your problem to your pastor isn't going to get it away. Bringing your problem to God is what we're told to do. We're told to bring our supplications to Him. And we're told to give thanks as well. A good way to stop your worry is to thank God for all that He has done. Because it doesn't take very long in thanksgiving to remember the times when God has helped you through problems like that before. Through difficulties like that before. Through challenges like that before. As a church on a Thursday evening, we start our prayer times very often with thanksgiving and testimonies. And it's to encourage us. We see what's been going on in people's lives. And people thank God for lots of different things. And sometimes it's quite general. They thank God for their life and the protection. And sometimes there's been a particular event in that last week, and the Lord has come in for them, and the Lord has blessed them, and the Lord has helped them, and we give thanks. And in giving thanks for what the Lord has done, it encourages us going forward, because the problem just becomes, as we should see it, in the light of God and His power. So you should pray, and you should bring these things to God, and you should thank God, and you should thank God for the problem, and you should thank God for how He solved your problems in the past, and you should thank God for what He's doing, because when we're thanking God, we're not going to be worrying. Because how can we be worrying when we're thanking God for what He's done? And then it tells us to make our requests known to God. Requests made known to God. This means we can ask God for what we actually need. We can tell God what we're actually concerned about. We can say to God more than, I just feel worried. But you can say why you're worried. You can ask Him to give you the guidance in the situation. You ask Him to provide for you. You can ask Him to help you. You can ask Him to show the way. I was reading a story around this, and there was this young student, and it was a wet and windy and rainy day. And they were waiting for the bus to arrive, and there wasn't a bus shelter there, and they were out in there, and they prayed and they asked God for a bus to arrive. And within a few moments, a bus arrived. And she was so thankful to see this bus, and then she realized that it was the wrong one. It wasn't going the direction she needed it to. And she remembered God answered her prayers because she'd only asked for a bus. She hadn't asked for the bus to take her home. And in that silly little illustration, it reminds us that our prayers need to be specific. We need to tell God what it is. We need to tell God. We can tell God. We can open our hearts to Him. We can make our requests known to Him. Not just, please bless me and help me not to worry this week. But let's tell Him what we are worried about. That exam, I fear, is going to be difficult, Lord. Help me to study properly for it. Help me to prepare for it. Help me to find someone who's going to explain how those formulas work. Pray to God. Bring our requests to Him. And He tells us we can do this. And we read that passage in Matthew, didn't we? Jesus was speaking there, and Jesus was preaching there, and Jesus was talking to His people, His disciples and the others, the crowd that were gathered. And in Matthew 6 and 25, He tells them, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink or about your body. I mean, what a thing here. The whole world is bombarding us and telling us to be anxious about what we eat and what we drink. We just have to walk along the road and we see the adverts for things to eat and drink. And it's telling us to be anxious. And we see beautiful men and beautiful women on billboards. And it's telling us to be anxious about what we look like. And we see shop fronts with all the wonderful clothing in it. And it's telling us to be anxious about what we wear. And we pass the car showroom and it's telling us to be anxious and worried about what car we're driving around in. And we see the mobile phone adverts and we're anxious and worried about what our phone says about us. And what we're being told here is we've not got to worry about any of that stuff. We're not to worry about it. We're not to get upset about it. We're not to get anxious about it. Why? Because God will look after us. God, who is so much bigger than all these things, will bless us. I had a friend who was a similar height to me. And in some of the versions where it talks about being worrying, and it says, can you make yourself any taller by worrying? It depends on how you translate it. Some say any taller or any can you grow any more? And some people say, can you add an extra day to your life by worrying? And we used to laugh at him and say, well, your worrying worked well for you because you're getting taller and taller. But the reality is, can worrying help you? Can it add to your days? Can it resolve the situation? No, it does nothing. It can give you ulcers. It can make you physically ill. It can make you a really, really miserable person to be with. It can enable you to lose your friends. I'm not going to speak to them again because they're just going to be worried about something again. And so what we need to do is not be like the Gentiles who seek after these things, who worry after these things. But we remember our Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says in verse 33 of chapter 6 of Matthew. And it says, and all these things will be added to you. This might not be difficult for you to imagine because you may have been there. You have a money problem. Your rent is needed, or the fees for your university are needed, or you're wanting to go home and you need the money for your bill, and you go to a friend with your bills, with your problem, you talk to them for a couple of hours, they listen to you, and you feel better, and then you go home, and you've still got all the bills with you. Does that stop you worrying? Well, no, you still have the money problem, don't you? You need to find someone who can do something about the problem. And who can? God can. God can. And when we pray, we don't just come to talk about our problems. We trust God to look after our problems. And we leave them with God. And we do not give him the worry when you pray and then take it back. We cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. We bring our worries and concerns and give them to him. And he takes them and he looks after them. So we have to take God's worry medicine. And we have to ask ourselves, will we obey God's word? Will we stop worrying and will we start praying? Will we stop worrying and bring things to God? Because it can be very tough to do this. It can be very, very difficult to do this. But God will help us when we follow what he says. Because the other big part of this picture is the fact that we will receive God's peace. Because verse 6 goes on to verse 7, doesn't it? And verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And it doesn't finish there, does it? It carries on and says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is really important because I think if some of us had wrote this, it had read like this in verse 7. And God will take all your problems and make them vanish. And God will give you all the money you want and you'll become rich. And you will pass all your exams and get a first class degree. But it doesn't say that, does it? He doesn't say that. That's not what is promised there. We're not promised to have all these wealth and prosperity and peace and healing. But what we are promised is even greater. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we get frustrated because we're looking for the answers of prayers in the wrong places. And we're expecting God to work and do our agenda when God has promised that He will give us peace that surpasses all understanding, but it may not be the result that we think we should have. Take the problem away. No, I'm going to let you have the problem because I'm going to work peace that passes all understanding in your life. I need the money now. No, you don't. You need patience to wait for it. That's what I'm teaching you, but I'm going to give you peace that passes all understanding in the meantime. No, God knows that. And that's why it starts with the Lord is at hand, because we have to remember that the Lord is bigger and the Lord is better and the Lord is wiser than us. And in His wisdom, what He knows that what we really need is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We don't need our prayers answered in the way that we think we need them. We need what God has planned for us to His glory. And that is to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is to have our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus. So we underlined earlier that this is all possible because the Lord is at hand. And the reality is, true peace is only possible if the Lord is at hand. And for some of you this morning, that's really good news because you know that the Lord is at hand. But for some of you this morning, the Lord is not at hand for you. That may shock you a little bit. But this promise here of peace isn't for everybody. And there are some of you here this morning who cannot, at this moment in time, enjoy this peace that is on offer. And the reason that you cannot enjoy this peace that is on offer is because you are not right with God, and God is not at hand for you. You have alienated yourself from God. You are doing your own thing. You are going your own way, and you are not right with God, and therefore you cannot have that peace. You don't know Him because you're not His. And you're not His because you're an enemy of His. You say, well, I'm not an enemy. If you are not right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are an enemy of God's. Even though you're in God's house this morning, even though you came to the house of worship, if you are not in a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, if you've not had your sins forgiven through Jesus Christ, then you are an enemy of God and you cannot know true peace. And this peace that passeth all understanding is not for you. But the really good news is it can be. The wonderful news is you can know this peace for yourself. If we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. And right now, if you want to know that peace, you can ask God to make you right with Him. You can ask God to forgive you for your sins that alienate you from Him. Because there's lots of people here who have done. And they can know that peace. And they can know it because they have a relationship with God. God has given them the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're in this relationship with God, and God is on hand for them. And God will guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Their sins have been dealt with by Christ Jesus. They're right with God through Christ Jesus. And now they have a peace that surpasses or transcends everything. It's more than they can understand. And they know that God is guarding their hearts and their minds, because that's what's been promised. Now, the people of Philippi would really know what this would have meant, because this wording here is like a citadel or like a fortress. A lot of you have been into Lefkosia, haven't you? And there's a place called Ginnikapisa, Kyrenia Gate, and that's the gateway into the city. And in the olden days, there was a wall. Well, there still is a wall. You can only see half of it now from this side, but if you go to the Greek side, you can see the other half. And around the whole of that city is this wall. And that wall would have been manned in the Venetian times. And there'd have been soldiers and guards on there. And people could have only came in and out of those gates. And nothing bad would have been allowed into the city. And Famagusta is the same, and you can see Kyrenia Castle. And this is the situation that we've been told about now, is God will guard our hearts and lives like that. That's what God has promised to us. He's promised to guard us and to keep us. And if God has promised to guard us and keep us, what have we got to worry about? What have we got to worry about when God has promised to guard us and to keep us? When God has promised to give us this peace, what have we got to worry about? It doesn't matter about how bad things are. It doesn't matter about how afraid we are of these bad things. God's peace is much stronger. And it's His special peace that He will bring to His people. It keeps out worries, just as it guards us from the enemy. It keeps His promises. We have to take the medicine and pray and bring our requests and our supplications and our thanksgiving to the Lord. And He will guard us and give us this peace that passeth all understanding. I want us to go back to that top 10 list of worries. At the top of that list, losing your freedom. How can we lose our freedom when we're free in Christ? We have the truth that sets us free. We haven't got to worry about that. We have real freedom. And the fear of the unknown. Our God knows the unknown because He made up the unknown before the unknown was thought about. Can you get your heads around that? Before the unknown was thought about, our God was making up the unknown. He knows it. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. And He knows why. And He knows how it's going to make you a better believer. He knows how it's going to make you grow in Him. He knows how painful it's going to be. He knows how joyful it's going to be. He knows it all. We do not have to be afraid of the unknown because our God knows it. And He's saying, come with me. Take my yoke. Take my burden. It's light. I'll look after you. I'll take you. And we think of the fear of pain. And yes, pain is real, and pain can be fearful. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered pain. And He suffered pain like we would never suffer ourselves. And He knows that pain. And when we go to Him and pray to Him, He's promised to comfort us. He's promised to help us. And He knows it because He's been there. He's felt it. And He can and He will help us through. Disappointments. I had an auntie, and on her wall she had this little thing, and it said, disappointments are His appointments. Just change it slightly, dis to His. Disappointments are His appointments. You may be upset by it, but God has got a plan for it in you. And He knows that that plan is right for you. And He knows that that's going to work to His glory and to your benefit. Fearful of misery. Well, what have you got to be miserable about? What have you got to be miserable? I mean, you may think, well, actually, I've got quite a lot to be miserable about. I'm hungry. I could be miserable about that. I've got some exams coming ahead. I'll be miserable. Now, let's have a look. Let's take a step back. What have you got to be miserable about? When before time began, God chose you to be His. God chose you to be His. He brought you into His family. He sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer the pain, the shame, and the agony of Calvary so that you could be His. Do you want to be miserable? We can be, but I wouldn't recommend it. We should be joyful. We should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And if we're tempted to be worried about being miserable, let's take a rain check on it. Ask God to show you where it is. Loneliness. Yes, it can be fearful. And for some of us that are in God's family, we're actually called to a path of loneliness. And for some believers in some parts of the world, it is very lonely for them. But they don't have to worry about it. Because the Holy Spirit will comfort them. And He will comfort you in your loneliness. And ultimately, will we be lonely forever? No. At worst, we're going to be lonely if we live an average lifespan for 75 years. And the rest of eternity, which, Jacob, can you help me with explaining eternity? How many times would you have to times 75 to get eternity? You can't. Infinity. 75 times infinity gets you close to eternity. Doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Sorry, my maths is wrong even there. You can't. But what I'm trying to say is, yes, there may be a sense that you are called to loneliness, and there are some believers, and my heart goes out for them, when they've got no other fellowship and they're by themselves, but their loneliness is a fraction in time compared to the joy that they will be receiving with heaven and with God forever and ever and ever. And if you do go through a time of loneliness, don't worry about it. Ask the Lord to use it in your life so you can pray for others. Ridicule. People worry about ridicule. And we're told, if we read the earlier part of the Sermon on the Mount, we're told to rejoice when people ridicule you and laugh at you, because that's what the Lord Jesus went through. And just as Jesus was a more than conqueror, so can you be too through Christ who strengthens you. Rejection. We may fear rejection, but who are you going to be rejected by? Will God reject you once you're His? No. I will never leave you or forsake you. What have you got to worry about when God, the author, the creator, the sustainer of this world is saying, I'm not going to leave you. Yes, family may reject you. Yes, work may reject you. Yes, others may happen. Yes, that's something. But ultimately, what really matters is the Lord who is near will never, ever, ever reject you. Number two on the list was death. Death has lost its sting for God's people. And this divides this room dramatically, because there are those of you here that never have to worry about dying. Because dying takes you from this mess and presents you faultless before God. You'll see Jesus and be with Him. You'll be with your loved ones that have gone on before you. Everything will be made perfect. Death has lost its sting. We don't have to worry about that. And failure. Do we have to worry about failure? We are some of the world's greatest failures. Because we've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And yet in our failure, God restores, revives, and recommissions and prepares us for glory. Do we have to fear failure? No. We can be sad about it. We can be upset about it. We can ask God to protect us from spiritual failure. But if we fail, God restores. God revives. God recommissions. And so bringing it all together, friends, I would like to encourage you to turn your worry lists into prayer lists. Take your worry lists and turn them into prayer lists. Because the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we have been encouraged in your word, help us to remember that you are at hand. And for those of us that are yours, we are so thankful for that fact, and we pray that you would help us to grow in the knowledge of it. But for any who don't know you at hand, for any who don't know you as their Saviour, may they come to know you, O Lord God. May they know the wonder of their sins forgiven. May they know the wonder of being made right with you. And help us, O Lord God, not to be anxious about everything, but help us in everything to bring our prayers to you, our supplications, our thanksgiving, and may we make our requests known to you. And Almighty God, we plead with you this morning that you will be faithful to your promise, and that we may know the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and that we may know what it is to have our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.